Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. I'm so glad we have all joined together right now. It's just after a busy holiday season, and so I really appreciate this time together. Let's come into silence. If you notice the mind feels busy, just non-judgmentally notice that and shift attention back to the sensation of breathing. There's nowhere to go, nothing to do, except to show up fully to this moment. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And with willingness, we place the Holy Spirit in charge. We take a step into the back seat and let the Holy Spirit do the navigating. Taking a nice, mindful breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of this time and place. Again, welcome everybody. We're going to be picking up where we left off last week. So if you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 385. It's the sentence that begins with, you are not two selves in conflict. Again, that's Sparkle Edition, page 385. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it is chapter 16, part 4, paragraph number 26. And the corresponding section in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition is chapter 16, part 3, paragraph number 6. Again, you are not two selves in conflict. So let's dive in. You are not two selves in conflict. And actually, even just after reading this one sentence, it just comes to mind for me so strongly about how, you know, we fall into a trap of thinking that this is hard, that there's this, you know, part of ourselves that we are struggling with, and if only we could get to the love. This is saying so clearly, you are not two selves in conflict. What is beyond God? If you who hold him and whom he holds are the universe, all else must be outside where nothing is. You have taught this, and from far off in the universe, yet not beyond yourself, the witnesses to your teaching have gathered to help you learn. Their gratitude has joined with yours and God's to strengthen your faith in what you taught. For what you taught is true. Alone, you stand outside your teaching and apart from it. But with them, you must learn that you but taught yourself and learned from the conviction you shared with them. A couple of things come up for me in this paragraph that I'll just share right off the bat. The first thing that comes up is, this I learned from Corrine Walson, and the example actually that she gave, and that is relevant for me as well because I often get hooked by cruelty to animals, is that rather than first seeing the picture and, you know, seeing it, getting upset with it, and then, you know, eventually maybe giving it over to the Holy Spirit, what we're being asked to do is more from a top-down approach. We could say that that's the bottom-up approach, where we see something first with, you know, the body's eyes, and immediately we judge it, right? We almost can't not judge it because we've seen it with the body's eyes. It's almost automatic. We could say that that's like a bottom-up approach. And that's that approach, you know, we take then what we see to the Holy Spirit. That is certainly helpful, and that's I know how I've done things for a very, very long time. Something that Corrine taught that really resonated with me is that instead, maybe not instead, but in addition to, or if this is helpful, it's just an offering, is to think of it more of a top-down approach. So rather than starting with the picture, instead going to God and saying, reminding yourself that God is love, and God cannot suffer, and God doesn't know suffering. And so if that's what I'm seeing something that's not real. So in a sense, with that idea of it coming from like the top down, we're starting at the top with the idea that God is love and that God doesn't know animal cruelty, God doesn't know death, God doesn't know sickness, suffering, all of those things. And so they can't be real. We must be misperceiving. And then obviously, you know, giving what we see to the Holy Spirit. So that came up for me just in these first few sentences of this paragraph, because it's saying you're not two selves in conflict. There's not like, you know, the ego self and the true self, because the ego, as we've learned, but this is so abstract for us, it really doesn't, it's nothingness. It's just a belief in nothingness. It doesn't exist. What is beyond God? It says, if you who hold him and whom he holds are the universe, all else must be outside where nothing is. So that example of taking this from a top-down idea, of starting with that idea that God doesn't know this suffering, God doesn't know, you know, whatever it may be that is coming up for us, that was really helpful for me, and so I wanted to share that. And then it goes on to talk about witnesses to our teaching have gathered to help us learn. So every time we experience those miracles, nothing is lost. We never, you know, lose any gains that we've made. They're all saved for us. And this rest of the section reminds me of how the Course talks about our creations and the extensions of love that are part of us that we have extended forth. And again, this is talking more on the abstract level than the level of form, but that everything there, every, you know, miracle that we've ever experienced is there to support our continued remembrance of truth. Nothing is ever, ever lost. So does anything come up for anyone in this paragraph? Any insights or examples or questions?
My same question every week.
Where are we? You're in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, right, Carla?
Now, I'm going to look at the original.
Oh, okay.
That's so if you just tell me the chapter and section, that'll be fine.
It's chapter 16, part 4, paragraph number 26 is what we just read.
Okay, thank you so much. And hey, family.
Thank you. Glad you're here.
Yeah, and you know, for me, it's like just right with that first sentence, because even today or during the holidays, you know, you feel it. I mean, I can only say sometimes you feel like two people or two different, divided, you know what I mean? Like you feel divided.
Yeah.
I hate
to
say it, like fighting a battle.
It very much can feel that way, and you know, it's again, it goes back to that idea of like we've used the power of God to utterly convince ourselves that we're separate, to utterly, utterly convince ourselves that we are in this conflict. So imagine we can't even comprehend just the power of God. We've used that power to forget, to really, really, truly, not completely, but to really, you know, try to be very convincing, to provide convincing witnesses for us to forget who we are. So we have to be where we're at. And if it feels like there's that conflict, if it feels like there's a lot going on and, you know, stress levels are high, the most loving, kind thing that we can do for ourselves is allow ourselves to be where we're at, because we can't intellectualize our way out of it. So
no.
It's about, you know, acknowledging where we're at and, again, having that tiny willingness to see differently.
Absolutely. I'm going to just give you a quick example, like in form.
Please.
With a family, like depending on how you relate to your family, and just being able to see them and know that they're well on an ongoing basis. I mean, I have a struggle with that with one of my kids moved away. So, you know, the distance thing and trying to accept the fact you can't always see physically in terms of form. You can't always see everybody and guarantee that everybody's okay and everybody's happy.
Right.
And you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Ugh.
You know, one of the I can share this. It's not a secret. We just haven't announced it yet. Miracle Share, we decided to start doing something called Miracle Share Academy, where we're going to just do like 4 classes at a time on a particular topic. And I believe the first class is going to be on parenting. I'm not going to be facilitating it. It's going to be Danielle Scruton and another course teacher, Susan Dugan. And during the Miracle Share conference, Danielle did a segment on, of course, miracles and parenting, and had another parent of 4 kids at the time, now 5, co-facilitate the session together. And one of the things that they were talking about that I thought was so wonderful is how remembering that our children, they're not yours. I can relate. This is going to sound so silly, but like, I feel really good that I have this webcam that I can see my chickens and make sure they're okay. I on a tiny, tiny level, you know, I can relate to what you're saying,
that's
Ryan,
it.
Because these
that's
are,
it.
Yeah, these are your children. And so, I've almost used that teaching, you know, remembering that from the conference that like, they're not actually yours. Like, raising them, you know, there are certain responsibilities that you have until they're grown, but they've always belonged to God. And, you know, we think that we have a choice in whether or not we have children and our children have children, but, like, it's all done. Like, it's all there's no accidents. There's no accidents. And so that ownership, I think, is something really important. You know, when we feel that I don't know if ownership is the right word, but being willing to place them, our children, our pets, our loved ones, our friends, into the Holy Spirit's hands, because we're not going to, if we're constantly giving these people, these relationships to the Holy Spirit, we can be certain that the truth is going to be, you know, supported in doing that versus our trying to problem solve and control apart from God, apart from Spirit.
How intuitive.
So,
that's it. That is
does
it.
That make sense?
Yes.
See, I'm learning from my chickens.
You know, one of the most, the best chapter in the whole book, as far as, I mean, because of course I'm a parent, that I have found to be the most helpful is the chapter on the special relationship.
Mm.
Because, it takes it apart.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, all of these ideas that we've been brought up with about parenting or even your relationship with, you know, as an adult, your relationship with your parents, oh my God, it's just phenomenal, because it just lifts so much of the guilt. You know, there's so much guilt wrapped around all of this stuff, and it just puts everything into perspective so beautifully. It's the thing that got me through all those years with my father after my mother died, because the expectation was that the children take care of the elderly parent. And my God, that the st- stress around that. And that chapter on the special relationship just got me through everything. And even with my
That's
own,
awesome.
You know, even with my own girls and the, I mean, my oldest daughter and I could barely be in the same room at one time. And mm-hmm. we've gone off on wonderful vacations together. This book is, just read the book.
Mm-hmm.
just read about the special relationship. I'm telling you, it changes everything.
It's coming up, too. We're going to start reading about, I don't know if it's the exact section that you're referring to, Paula, but it's coming in the next section where we'll be talking a little bit about special relationships. And it's not just children or parents, you know.
Oh,
it's,
yeah. Everything.
It's our relationship,
every relationship
to our own body. It's every, exactly. It's every relationship. Every relationship.
Great. Thank
Whether it's
so
to
much.
A living thing or, you know, something else.
Thanks.
Yeah,
you
thank you.
You too, Paula and Corinne and everybody.
let's read the next paragraph. This year, you will begin to learn and make learning commensurate with teaching. You have chosen this by your own willingness to teach. Though you seem to suffer for it, the joy of teaching will yet be yours. For the joy of teaching is in the learner who offers it to the teacher in gratitude and shares it with him. As you learn, your gratitude to yourself, who teaches you what he is, will grow and help you honor him. And you will learn his power and strength and purity and love him as his father does. His kingdom has no limits and no end, and there is nothing in him that is not perfect and eternal. All this is you, and nothing outside of this is you. I'm so glad that the last sentence is there, all this is you, because when it says him, it's talking about yourself. It's talking about you. All this is you, and nothing outside of this is you. And whether or not we, you know, this isn't referring to teaching in the formal sense, we teach all of the time in every interaction that we have. We're either teaching love or we're teaching fear. To give you, you know, a tiny example, teaching fear is when I join with somebody on how, you know, awful that particular news story was, or, you know, that I'm connecting with somebody over, oh, yeah, you know, you probably should go get the flu vaccine. Like, again, or whatever vaccine. I'm just making up examples as we go. Whatever it is, and again, we do have to be where we're at, but what is that doing? But that is teaching fear. We have to be where we're at so we can have that option of even after the fact saying, oh, hey, you know, there it was again. I'm willing to see this differently. I'm willing to take it to spirit. But we're teaching all of the time. So it's saying clearly here that the joy of teaching will yet be yours, for it's in us as both learners and as teachers. Any comments? Next paragraph. To your most holy self, all praise is due for what you are and for what he is who created you as you are. Sooner or later must everyone bridge the gap which he imagines exists between his selves. Each one builds this bridge which carries him across the gap as soon as he is willing to expend some little effort on behalf of bridging it. His little efforts are powerfully supplemented by the strength of heaven and by the united will of all who make heaven what it is, being joined within it. And so the one who would cross over is literally transported there. How cool is this? This, what I imagine is that, you know, with every, how it says, we each one builds this bridge, with every miracle, with every moment that we allow healing into our own minds, we place, you know, another sort of step in that bridge. And it gets built through our own willingness, and it says by expending some little effort. So it's not like this is, you know, something that is really strenuous and really hard. This is a tiny bit of willingness, a little effort on behalf of bridging it. And I love how this is referring to the fact that we imagine that we have two selves. It says that clearly. Sooner or later must everyone bridge the gap which he imagines exists between his selves. So that's all we're doing here in this course, on this path, is building this bridge, is healing that gap between these two selves that we think we have. We are only one self with a capital S, and yet with this wild, you know, hallucination, we have imagined that there's, you know, something to get back to, that there is something that we've lost. Our truth, you know, is far away from us, and we're far away from it. There is no gap, and we're learning that. And so through that tiny willingness, that little effort, that is what builds that bridge. And I love how it also says that we are transported. We're literally transported over that bridge. So the strength of heaven, if you can, again, try to imagine, the strength of heaven supplements our every effort. How comforting is that?
Yeah, and somehow, I don't know why I'm thinking this, but it sounds like a little bit of self-acceptance. Like, as you learn more about yourself, you understand these things about, you know,
yes,
the two parts, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's it for
that
me.
That totally,
I mean,
resonates for me.
Yeah, you learn.
On both ways, like in one sense, if we're talking self-acceptance, you know, with a lowercase s versus capital S, when we accept the small case, you know, the small letter s, the course starts making a lot of sense because, oh, yeah, I am doing that, you know, like I am using this crazy denial, or I am, you know, whatever it may be, and accepting that, not judging it, turning to spirit and coming to accept ourself with a capital S, and knowing then that we are made of love, that we are that eternal, peaceful joy. So I totally agree, Brian. It is all about self-acceptance.
What comes up for me is the part in the course where it talks about the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for oneself, and that really rings true for me, because you can only, like Brian was saying, with self-acceptance, you can only make that choice with your higher self. Connecting with your higher self, you can't take responsibility for the choice, you know, on the level of form with the appearance of another soul. You can only take responsibility for your choice moment to moment, and for me that takes a lot of pressure off. Like, I don't have to be responsible. I can only be responsible for my choice in this moment. I can't be responsible for anything other than that. So,
Deidre, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's such an important point, and that goes back to what we read in the first paragraph where it says, you must learn that you but taught yourself. So in teaching, you know, it's never about teaching or healing others or inspiring others. This is all, you know, all for ourselves. It's all about accepting that, undoing that atonement in our own minds. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Let's read the next paragraph. Your bridge is builded stronger than you think, and your foot is planted firmly on it. Have no fear that the attraction of those who stand on the other side and wait for you will not draw you safely across. For you will come where you would be and where yourself awaits you.
And there's that
That's
element
the end
of
this section.
There's that element there, once again, though, of the strength. You know, so it's the willingness and the strength, but you gotta be strong and intelligent.
But that strength doesn't come from you or me. It doesn't come from Corinne. It doesn't come from Brian. It doesn't come from any of us. That strength is the Holy Spirit's strength.
The Spirit, yes.
Yes. If we think we have to be strong, that's we're going to fall over because separate from our capital S self, there's nothing, you know, it's an ego trap. It could be a form of the spiritual ego, you know, thinking that like it has to do it itself and then be that strong one. So our strength comes from recognizing that we are utterly dependent on God.
Also for me, it's like joining with and recognizing that the strength is always there. It's just there's a part of the mind that thinks it's asleep that has left the strength temporarily, but you can always choose to join again. Like it's just, it's always about joining the strength that's already there because it hasn't left us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It hasn't gone anywhere.
This line, have no fear that the attraction of those who stand on the other side and wait for you will not draw you safely across. Is that in a spiritual sense?
That's how I take it, yeah. That to me is another reference to our creations, to those extensions that haven't stopped extending themselves, that, you know, have come through us, those extensions of love. So I do take that spiritually, yes.
So souls that have passed, I had an experience today. We were walking back from the beach, and this woman was outside actually doing some gardening. It was pretty warm. And my daughter struck up a conversation with her, and she said, this woman's dog happened to be on the porch. And she said, oh, did you get another dog? And the woman said to her, oh, no. She said, our dog had cancer and died, and we were just so devastated. And she said, by accident, a friend of mine's father passed away and had a dog that needed a home. So she said, I took him just to thinking that I would find a home for him. She said, but we really love him and we're keeping him. And when she said it was an accident, I had a laugh because they were so devastated by this the death of their dog that, because she said that dog will never be replaced, you know. And I think there may have been, I doubt that she ever would have gotten another dog had this not happened. But that dog that passed sent this dog to her, I swear to you. And it was, it was the nicest dog. Oh, my God. It was so friendly and loving. Oh. I mean, the hearts and flowers were coming off this dog. This is miraculous. You know, and it's the bridge. They can cross that bridge effortlessly.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. No accidents. Absolutely no accidents. Anything coming up for anybody else? Awesome. Well, we can continue. So the next section is called Illusion and Reality of Love. I believe it is the same heading in the Foundation for Inner Peace. All right, so here we go with special relationships. Be not afraid to look upon the special hate relationship, for freedom lies in looking at it. It would be impossible not to know the meaning of love except for this. For the special love relationship in which the meaning of love is lost is undertaken solely to offset the hate, but not to let it go. Your salvation will rise clearly before your open eyes as you look on this. You cannot limit hate, meaning the small self cannot limit hate. The special love relationship will not offset it, but will merely drive it underground and out of sight. It is essential to bring it into sight and to make no attempt to hide it. For it is the attempt to balance hate with love that makes love meaningless to you. The extent of the split that lies in this you do not realize, and until you do, the split will remain unrecognized and therefore unhealed. So again, here in this paragraph, it's prompting us to bring the darkness to light, to bring the ego stuff to the Holy Spirit to be undone. It says super clearly that the split will remain unrecognized and therefore unhealed until we give it to the Holy Spirit, until we consciously choose to give Spirit. The special hate relationship and the special love relationship are really just two sides of the same coin. I literally have like a picture of a dime coming up in my head. And whether it's special hate or special love, they're both tools of the ego to keep us from remembering love with a capital L. They're our substitutes in this world for the love of God. At least in it maybe makes it a little bit more clear sense to think about the special love relationship being a substitute for the love of God. But the special hate relationship, again, is just another side of the same coin, and that's relationships that are used to keep us believing that we're bodies, to keep us believing that we are these separate selves that are subject to, you know, death and sickness and aging and all that stuff. So that's what comes up for me in this paragraph.
Well, I think I have a special hate relationship with myself. I don't really feel all that grounded and centered and just good emotionally. And I feel powerless and like a victim. I recognize what the truth is, what this book says, but I don't necessarily feel that way right now. So I just have to honor how I feel. I'm not feeling all that good right now, and it seems as if we get to the section of special relationships, I could feel my stomach churning, you know, because that is the bane of my existence. I'm like, one after the other, after the other, it just seems to bring up the same stuff unconsciously for me. I think I'm about tired of learning lessons. Yeah, I think I'm about tired to learn. Not the way I've been learning them anyway. They have not been very peaceful. They have not been very fun. And I have not been experiencing a whole lot of gratitude when they come up. And so right now I feel like I am in like a, I don't know, a barrel or something with the same old stuff and just kind of marinating it in like a pickle. And it's not feeling good, smelling good and tasting good right about now. And I kind of feel like hopeless, like when is this shit ever going to change? It's like the same stuff over and over and over and over again. And it's really affecting my outlook on life, you know, like, will I ever have a peaceful relationship? It just seems like it's the hardest thing. But the flip side of that is I have peaceful friendships. So it's like, so I don't know why that wouldn't translate into another part of my life. So that, you know, kind of, I guess, contradicts the thought that I couldn't have loving, healthy, conscious relationships because I already do.
Yeah.
So, but I just don't have sex with them. You know, that's the difference. And I'm not feeling all that good right about now. I feel actually very crazy. It doesn't look, you know, to look at me, you wouldn't know that, but I don't really feel all that good right about now, spiritually fit right about now. So I just have to put that out there. And it feels like I should know. I should feel better because of what I know, what this book says. Like, I should be able to put this in some type of perspective that I feel better, because after all, well, if I'm not happy, this need not be. If I'm not happy, if I'm depressed, it's because I'm not fulfilling my function. And, yeah, I think other people need to fulfill my function right now, because I'm not.
Oh, we'd really be doomed if that was the case. We'd be in trouble if that was the case. Sure feels that way, though, sometimes, doesn't it? God damn.
Yeah, but I guess I just really, you know, needed to say that. And that at the bottom of all of that is that I'm really scared. Mm. Yeah, I'm really scared, and I'm really feeling inadequate and guilty. That's the bottom of what's going on
for
me.
Well, I don't agree with you.
Well, thank you.
I think you're pretty fabulous.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, we are here to side with the truth in each other. And so with what Paula just said, Carla, like, I'm siding with the truth in you. And yet I want to really emphasize that it's okay how you feel. It's totally okay, you know, to be feeling the way that you're feeling. But I think that you hit on a really, really important point where you said you were able to just articulate this feeling inadequate, feeling guilty, feeling scared, you know, touching those fears there. And so how we just read that our task is to look at this, you know, to look at what's coming up with the Holy Spirit, not to look at it alone and try to, you know, figure it out, but to look at what's coming up with the Holy Spirit. I think I've shared before that I like thinking about this as, you know, when crap comes up, looking at it with the Holy Spirit, because it implies even less effort than having to hand something over. So just the fact that you said what you just said about how you feel, maybe those are things that you can look at with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Carla was just able to articulate in words all of those things is proof in the pudding right there that you're looking at the stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's all that you're being asked to do. I mean, it's not a course in, you know, denying your feelings and saying affirmations and painting over them, because that's also illusionary. So just what you're doing is exactly enough.
Thank you for saying that, Deidre.
Yeah.
That's always the issue. I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough of this or of that. Sometimes I get so flustered because I feel so stuck in those thoughts that I start saying the prayers that I'm familiar with, and they get all mixed up. But I figure, you know, it's like the child in the woods, you know, saying ABC, ABC, and somebody comes up to him and asks, well, why do you keep saying your ABCs over and over again? And he said, well, I don't know I'm praying and I don't know the words, but God does. So I may not be able to get the prayers out right, but my heart's in the right place.
Yeah. God knows the prayers of your heart. The words are like once removed from that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, even that, like, honestly, if you were to take an inventory, would Spirit be like telling us how to pray? No, like we're doing that. We're thinking that there's all these rules that we have to follow to be like, you know, good little children. But Spirit doesn't see any of that. Spirit is like, I see your light, child, and it's okay. You know, like that's it. You're loved. You're cherished. You're supported. All of the other stuff, we can just let go of, you know, not doing it right or not, you know, whatever other rules that we impose on something.
Thank you, family.
Oh, thank you, Carla.
Thank you.
We're joined in holding one another and supporting each other. So thank you so much for sharing to allow us to support you. I suppose let's read another paragraph. The symbols of hate against the symbols of love play out a conflict which does not exist. For symbols stand for something else, and the symbol of love is without meaning if love is everything. You will go through this last undoing quite unharmed, and will at last emerge as yourself. This is the last step in the readiness for God. Be not unwilling now, you are too near, and you will cross the bridge in perfect safety, translated quietly from war to peace. For the illusion of love will never satisfy, but its reality, which awaits you on the other side, will give you everything.
Wow. The illusion of love will never satisfy, but the truth of it will give you everything. That just gives me shivers.
Mm-hmm. And
I almost feel like that's what happened when Carla was just talking now, as you process through that. It's like crossing the bridge.
Yeah.
In perfect safety, translated quietly from war to peace.
And you will go through this last undoing quite unharmed, and will at last emerge as yourself. That's our guarantee. Our success is guaranteed, and we don't have to do anything for that to be.
And it does, it really is a kind of an ongoing process, because when she was talking, when Carla was just talking, I mean, my God, we can all relate to it and experience. I mean, we've all experienced that duality in our heads, when it, you know, and how, you know, we can be so hard on ourselves. And just processing through it gets you over that bridge to the other side, to feeling good again. And it's guaranteed.
Mm.
It is guaranteed.
And it's really wonderful when we can help one another do that. Sometimes it's more difficult when you try to do it on your own.
Yeah.
But this really, the Holy Spirit is the one who takes me over that bridge.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and getting in the habit of saying, oh, help me, please. Please help me with this, because this thought, God would not be thinking these things about me, about any of us.
Exactly.
That's so helpful. That's like a top down. That's exactly what I was, what I shared earlier. When we say that, when you say that, we've shared that before on the calls. You know, God wouldn't think that. God wouldn't know that.
No.
And so starting there.
And we couldn't even feel bad. The fact that we feel bad when we think that way is an indication that God wouldn't be thinking that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because when we think with God, we certainly don't feel bad. When we agree with his thoughts about us, we feel pretty darn confident and fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think our feelings are the greatest indicator of which voice we're listening to in our head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just wanted to emphasize that last sentence when Earl Purdy, when I was interviewing him for the Miracle Share conference, for the illusion of love will never satisfy, but its reality, which awaits you on the other side, will give you everything. He was like, when I see the word never, he's like, it means never. It's literal. It's saying the illusion of love will never, ever satisfy. And so that's something to, of course, we can see that and hear that as words and get it intellectually, but we have to, you know, we have to learn that it's the love of God that we're looking for in everything, in every relationship.
It really seems, I can just see it in my mind right now, how this processing, you know, is really the journey across the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, processing through these, just what she was just doing there, talking about how she was feeling and not feeling good, and then processing through it and, you know, getting to the other side of it and agreeing with God.
Yeah. Let's read the next paragraph. The special love relationship is an attempt to limit the destructive effects of hate by finding a haven in the storm of guilt. It makes no attempt to rise above the storm into the sunlight. On the contrary, it emphasizes guilt outside the haven by attempting to build barricades against it and keep within them. The special love relationship is not perceived as a value in itself, but as a place of safety from which hatred is split off and kept apart. The special love partner is acceptable only as long as he serves this purpose. Hatred can enter, and indeed is welcome in some aspects of the relationship, but it is still held together by the illusion of love. If the illusion goes, the relationship is broken or becomes unsatisfying on the grounds of disillusionment. What comes up for me in this paragraph, and this was a fleeting thought that came through my mind, Carlo, when you were expressing just the, I don't remember your exact words, but just that, you know, not being at peace with oneself. It says, a special love relationship is an attempt to limit the destructive effects of hate by finding a haven in the storm of guilt. So the destructive effects of hate, what this makes me think of is how, and again, I'm getting on a formless level here, more an abstract level. The separate mind, the mind that believes it's separate, doesn't love the true self. So the small self, let me say it this way, the small self does not love the capital S self because it wants to be separate. It wants to be independent, you know, exist separately from the truth of what we are. And if you think back to our conversation last week about how, you know, there was a tiny mad idea and the Son of God remembered not to laugh, we wanted specialness. It says elsewhere in the Course, aside from that section that I just referenced, it says elsewhere that we wanted specialness, and God, not knowing specialness, couldn't give it to us. So in kind of like a temper tantrum, we turned away and decided, like, all right, we'll create it ourselves then if you're not going to, you know, give me specialness. So that small self doesn't love the capital S self. That's this imaginary struggle that we have going on, that the small self, you know, has power and is, you know, actually a thing. So I just wanted to share that because I know for me, and Carla too, when you were talking about, you know, that lack of peace with oneself, I know I had gone through periods in the past of feeling that way and actually feeling comforted by this teaching of the Course that it's just, I don't have to get down on myself for not feeling good about myself. Like here's an explanation. That's kind of what this did for me, is that it put in a context, it gave a context to what I was feeling, and that kind of gave me permission to let it go. So I just felt moved to share that because that came forward for me. So it's saying here that special love relationship is about, you know, keeping the separation going. So finding that haven in guilt, which is what this idea of separation is based on, is what keeps it going. And there's not that attempt to heal, to rise into the sunlight, although now, obviously, we've all embarked on this journey, this process of rising above that storm into the sunlight. Into the sunlight, the moment that we experienced that tiny bit of willingness to let the Holy Spirit in, to let Jesus in, to let God in, love in, however you want to say it. So I hope that makes sense. Does anything, anybody else have any comments or questions or anything that's come up for you in this paragraph?
I was just thinking too, like how, because I know there have been moments in my life where I've had, you know, feelings and I've had like the pity party, right? And you're just feeling what you're feeling and it doesn't feel very good. And if I'm really honest, like, during those times when you're really in that space, you don't want out of it because it's, there's kind of a strange, weird, twisted comfort in that. And I had a conversation with someone recently where they were talking about something and what love means for them, and they were just saying, like, basically if love hurts, then you know that the person, like, there's really love between you, like it wouldn't hurt if there wasn't love there. And it made me kind of do like a double take, because I didn't laugh out loud, but I laughed in my mind, because I thought, geez, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Like, we've convinced ourselves, because we fear love so much, that love is pain. But Spirit is telling us that our only function is joy, but we have this belief that love is pain. And so I don't know why I'm bringing this up. I just felt called to, because I know in moments where I have felt like I really, you know, something's really happening to me, like I really believe the illusion that I've created for myself. I really am invested in being Deidre and not, you know, my true identity.
Yeah.
And so there's like this strange kind of weird comfort in staying asleep. It's almost like it's easier sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It sure is it sometimes, because the world teaches such upside down thinking that when you start to
Deidre, that was a beautiful sharing. And when you were sharing inside my mind, I'm going, oh my gosh, yes, that phrase, love hurts.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. It's like all the other, I might look back at a blog post and I'd give you credit with your permission, but like add that to the list of popular phrases that mask our fear of God, you know?
Like,
if God brings you to it, God brings you through it. Like, wait a second. No, God did not bring you to cancer or to, you know, whatever the nonsense is. There's so many phrases like that in our culture that are just masking, that they're a reflection of our fear of love. And love hurts is definitely one of them.
it is.
Wow.
It's like, you know,
remember the song?
Love hurts, exactly.
I'm telling you, this world is upside down.
There's another song called Love Stinks.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Well, I'll just share, and we're not going to read the next paragraph, but in that next paragraph, it says, what can change was never love. So if it changes, it was never love with a capital L. It was some version of the ego's love. And so that's a beautiful rule of thumb, that God's love does not change ever. It doesn't change. It's changeless.
You know what's so interesting? We've been so indoctrinated by society. All of the songs is about teach the wrong thing, teach the wrong kind of way to envision love.
Yeah, and it's society upholding our ego choice. So again, our own decision.
Brainwashing.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had to stop myself during that conversation because I didn't want to start, correcting the person, but I had to say one little comment in that I just felt like I had to say, I don't agree that love hurts. I said, I agree that your perception of how you perceive something can be used to hurt you. it was just a really interesting conversation in that moment in time, and it really helped me shift out of something, to be honest with you. So I'm very grateful for that conversation.
Yeah.
And here's something that's very interesting. What actually also hurts is fear. And there are just two emotions, love and fear. So if fear is associated with hurt, then love cannot be associated with hurt because hurt is associated with fear.
Right. We've got that mixed up on the form level.
Mm-hmm.
So for our good night prayer, I'm going to read, I just opened the book randomly, and this is Amy Torres's Sweet Dreams of Awakening book. We're going to have a good night blessing. So I just opened this up randomly to page 137. It says, good night, healed instruments. Those who are healed become the instruments of healing. Nor does time elapse between the instant you are healed and all the grace of healing it is given you to give. Say, I would share my healing with the world that sickness may be banished from the mind of God's one child who is my only self. Sweet dreams of awakening. Yay.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great
good
week.
Night.
See you next
you
week.
Too. Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Love you.
Love you
good
too.
Night.
Bye.
Thank you.